Shalom, saints, and a very good morning to all of you. The Lord bless you all, and we continue with our subject on the testimony. We can start with our theme scripture, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And so, as we continue, yesterday we were looking at aborting of a testimony, or testimonies that never were. So we defined what abortion was. We said it was the deliberate termination of a pregnancy, human pregnancy, most often performed during the first 28 weeks of it. Yeah, we also said it is an expulsion of a fetus from a uterus by natural causes before it is able to survive independently. So we looked at an example of the triumphant entry of the Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem, and as they were testifying of the good work of God, they were praising God. The Pharisees wanted them to abort that. So we also looked at Genesis, the account in Genesis where Cain murdered Abel and trying to abort a life for future generations through Abel were aborted, were killed, and the Lord said he would be a vagabond on earth. And that equated to us believers, if we have a testimony, we have a life which we don't manifest, we are aborting and we are killing lives that are supposed to come to the gospel. And then we also looked at Ezekiel 33, 1 to 5, which gave us a warning that we are, as we testify, we are watchmen and we set an example. All right. So now, today I want us to look here at power being the lifeline of a testimony. So power is the lifeline of a testimony. And I want us to look at the definition of the word power. Now, what is power? So power is the ability or capacity to do something or act in a particular way. The other definition can be power is the capacity or ability to direct or influence the behavior of others. So the key word I was looking at is influence. If we are able to have an influence on people, then we have power. People who have no influence on people, they have no power. Authority comes because of influence. Now, I want us to look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, here the Lord is telling us that we have a light. And this light is an influence. You know what light is able to do. When light is not there, there are so many things we cannot do. There are so many things that can't work. But when light comes, there is a certain way that life is lived when there's life, when there's light. There are so many activities. It influences a lot of things. Now, for our testimony, brothers and sisters, to be effective, we need to have the influence. We need to have the power. Because if we don't, we can merely testify using our words, but the influence won't be there. We can tell people a good message, but there's still something different that they're looking at. There's still something different they're looking at. So, and that different thing they're looking at is what we do, how we live our lives. The example we are sending out to the believers, that is what is key. That is power. That is influence. That is what is needed. Now, I want us to look at, I'll give you an example of, for example, if you look at the word repentance, to repent, what basically is to repent? Now, let us look at Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 28. Matthew 21. Okay, the Bible reads, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work to the today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I'll not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise, and he answered and said, 'I'll go, sir.' and went not. Now whether of them twain did the will of his father, they say unto him, the first. Jesus says to them, very verily I say unto you, that publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Now, here I'm looking at a situation where a statement has gone out. These children go and work in a field. They were told to go and work in the field. The first one refused. Verbally, he said no. The second one said yes. Now, the one who said no later on regretted that and went to the field. Then the one who said yes, he didn't go. What does this mean? It means true repentance. It's not verbal. It's not merely a verbal utterance. It is an action. It is a life. Now, if we are to testify, we have to have a true life. Not just speaking words on the mouth. Not just quoting scriptures and doing this. Even people in the denominations do that. What is differentiating us from the rest of the church world, from the denomination? It is because of a life. If we look at the ministry of Brother Branham, his ministry was accompanied by a life, by action, by a power, by an influence. We have so many televangelists, so many preachers, so many people doing these things, but people are able to see right through them. We have heard scandals. This pastor is married, is divorced, is done this. He was caught up with this. People whom we've known, they are in homosexuality. You hear all these crazy things in the charismatic world. And that is why the church is no longer respected. The church world has lost influence. Today, when you say you are a pastor or a church, you are ridiculed. You are looked down. Why? Because the system, the movement has no life. It has lost its life. It has lost its effectiveness. But it is still there. But it has no power. It's like a good vehicle which is stopped working. It's gone off. Can you imagine? You have a car, very new, very nice, all of a sudden switches off. When people look at it, they'll admire it. But as time goes on, they notice it doesn't work. So it has lost its effectiveness, no matter how it looks, no matter how it appears. Can you imagine? Without the life, without the power, without the influence, the testimony won't work. It won't work. You know, that's what basically happens. Well, in the Pentecostal circles, they have what they call a sinner's prayer. They believe when someone wants to repent, he needs to go forward, say a prayer after me, and then they say you are born again, you are effective, and that's rubbish. People don't get born again that way. Repeat after me. Those things have no effect. And they believe the person is born again, the angels are rejoicing in heaven, and it's not like that. Now, brothers and sisters, there's one thing that I've learned here in the mission field. There's something that I've really seen. You know, one thing that I've come to appreciate the Lord, something which has influenced or affected people, it's my marriage. And I'm always grateful to the Lord for the sister he gave me, Sister Modi. Modi is a wonderful woman, a godly woman. And I have seen even in my own family, you know, because the time I was getting married, my family it hated this message. It despised the message. They hated it. And, you know, they called me all sorts of names. I was the blackbird in the family. When I received this message, I was really persecuted. You know, I couldn't understand what wrong thing I did. I was called a devil. I was called a Satanist. They called me all such names. Can you imagine? And even the time I was marrying, there were very bad words that were spoken. And it was a very, very terrible experience, you know. Now, years later, all those members of my family, their marriages have all crumbled down. Their marriages have not worked. And they are the very people now who are telling me to say, you have been given a God-given woman. Why? Why are they calling her a God-given woman? Because they have seen the life. They have seen how we've lived together. They have seen how the Lord has seen us through. No scandals, no issues, no what. Why? Because That is a real testimony. It's the power. And you see, to draw you back, you know, before I got married, because, you know, I used to, when I was a young Christian, I used to look at all the members of my family and almost, and not almost, all of them had broken marriages. All of them had different problems and issues in their marriages. And in looking at that, I came to conclude that marriage, an effective marriage, is not possible. And, you know, it was very, you know, when I look back, and sometimes I kind of laugh or wonder to say, it's when you come from a warped world, even your view of the world is ridiculous. I remember when our pastor got married years back, some years in 2008. In my mind, because I came from that background, I was thinking, how is he going to live with his wife? And it took years. I was seeing a trend and an example, you know? And that left an imprint on my heart. I believe the pastor doesn't mind me saying this. You know, I even asked him a question. You know, I said, Pastor, I'm wondering, you know, how you are living with your wife. Can you imagine asking such a question? You are so much at peace. I've not seen anything. There's no problem. There are no, because I was coming from that background. You know, we are living in a world where people believe there is no such thing as an effective marriage. There is no marriage now. People can't live together. The world has come to believe. Can you imagine? There are even contracts. I'm told in the West, I don't know how it's done, they have even put up contracts now. You're allowed to have a contract. You can still, if you want to part away, you can part. Can you imagine? They don't believe in a permanent union. They don't believe that a man and a woman can stay together forever until death do them part. They don't believe such a thing exists now. And the world has come to believe. But not only have they come to believe, they've come to accept it. When you look at a lot of crooked sticks, you will not know that they are crooked until a straight one comes up. When a straight pole comes up, that's when you know that a stick is crooked. When you live in a village where there are mud houses, people in the village with mud houses are satisfied, even when they've got capacity to do better. But when they see a real house, that's when they know that they are living in a shack. So when I saw that, my heart was touched. Brother Piri did not tell me, minister to me about marriage. I was seeing how he was living his home, how they were living with a sister. That really touched my heart. I looked at the family where I came from and I said, Lord, all those were crooked sticks until I saw the right stick, you know? And you see, the same thing here. There are a lot of churches in the mission field here. We found a lot of churches, traditional old churches. People go to church. But when they saw our church here, it has struck a certain fear in their hearts because they have seen how we live. They've seen the example. We are not just speaking words. We are not just mere rhetoric. But our conduct is above reproach. We have churches where a pastor can divorce. Pastor's got three wives. Pastor drinks. Pastor does this. But when it comes to our church, they fear our church. And you know, the funny thing is, when we started out, there was this crazy narrative. They were saying, it's a Satanist church. Those are Satanists. These are, look, they seem to have money. They seem to have this. They've done this. These are satanic churches, so be careful with them. They were warning people that these are satanic, and people were believing that we were a satanic church. Now, as time goes on, the narrative has changed. From being satanic, they are now saying we're a real church. They are now saying that's a real church. And all those people who were vocal, because they don't have the life, they cannot speak out. They cannot come against it. Why? Because they have seen a life. So without an influence, we can never take the testimony. We can never take the gospel. We need to have an influence. And you see, there was a brother here. When he started out, you know, I think I gave you a testimony of him. He used to be a drunkard. When he first started out, they were thinking he was joking. And they used to mock him. They used to laugh at him, you know. But there was still something in him that was bringing him to church. And as he started out, they would mock him. They would say he was going nowhere. But he continued, and then they started calling him a Satanist. They said he's joined a satanic church. And all the time they would tease him, all the time they would abuse him. Now, as time went on, they were surprised that he was not giving up. And they were surprised that he was consistent. The lifestyle was consistent. They stopped calling him a Satanist. They were quiet. As time went on, they were respecting him. Now, they are asking for prayer from him. So, the influence, it's the power. That's what we need, believers. We need to pray for that influence in our lives. You know, that is what we need. That is what is very, very effective for us to testify. We ask the Lord to help us in our workplaces, in wherever we are. Let us live above reproach. Let them not find something to condemn in our lives. Let them not find something to point. We live above reproach. And, you know, I came across, there's a certain poster I came across on Facebook some time back. You know, this poster, it was very funny, but I learned something from it. It was showing a man lifting weights. And he was a very slim, slender, skinny guy. So he was lifting weights. And then people were looking at him and he was standing next to someone who was very muscular. So they were laughing at him. They said, look at that guy. He's lifting weights. They were laughing at him. Now, the second picture showed him still lifting weights. Now, he was still looking skinny. They stopped laughing at him. What did they do? They were quiet. They were surprised that he's continued. The third picture, something started happening to his physique. He started developing muscles. He started becoming muscular. And then they were respecting him. And then the last one, he was like the first guy. He was also as big as the first guy. They applauded him. They respected him. They applauded him. Why? That is how it starts, believers. So when we start, wherever we are, our real testimony, it is what we do. They see us. We are not like the rest of the world. We don't go after what they go for. We have a genuine hunger and thirst for Christ. Brother Branham said, be salty and they'll be thirsty. So let us be salty and they'll be thirsty. So we need to mind the company of people we are found with. We need to mind what we speak, and that will help us to have a very effective testimony. Because brothers and sisters, this gospel, it is a real gospel. This message, there is nothing you ever find above this. There is nothing, you go wherever you go, you will never find anything beyond this revelation of the hour. 2 Peter chapter 1, as we conclude, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, 2 Peter 1, let me see, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we are eyewitnesses of his majesty. Eyewitnesses. So brothers and sisters, we are eyewitnesses. We have experienced this message of his majesty. It is not cunning fables. It's not a joke. So wherever you are sowing the seed of this gospel, you're sowing life. The Lord bless you, my brothers and sisters. Shalom until we meet again.